Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is with Meredith Ketchel. We just talk because we can. It's fun. I enjoyed recording it. I enjoyed editing it. I enjoy the episode. So please listen to it. And the fact that you're listening to this makes me think you're going to probably listen to the episode. Before we begin, we have to do plugs because that's the law. On Friday, May 26th, You, Me, Them, Everybody Live returns to the Hungry Brain. I almost said the other place. Returns to the Hungry Brain in Chicago, Illinois. It's our first show there in a year and a half because it was closed for a year. So that'll be very exciting. On Saturday, May 21st, You, Me, Them, Everybody Live in Atlanta as part of the Crom Comedy Festival. Please come to that. On Friday, May 6th, You, Me, Them, Everybody Live in Washington, D.C., at the Wonderland Ballroom. The night before, Thursday, May 5th, Looking Glass Lounge will have the Dream Jukebox. That's not a show. It's more of a chance to like hang out, and I'm going to DJ, and a bunch of other people are going to DJ, and it's going to be fun, so come to that. I don't know what that voice was about. On Saturday, April 30th, I will be hosting a stage at the Kingman Island Bluegrass Festival in Washington, D.C. That's different than all the other stuff. So without further ado, here's Meredith Ketchel and I just talking about stuff.
The last time we talked was Wednesday.
Yeah.
It was 4:19 and the world was a different place.
It was. It was a totally different place. Prince was alive. I was still smoking.
What are you more disappointed in? That you didn't quit smoking completely or that Prince is dead?
Oh, that Prince is dead. He seems like a nice guy. I'm a piece of shit. I can go anytime. You know, if I can take bad habits.
I am not winning any friends this week because I have the exact opposite opinion.
Prince is fine. Can I be, like, very frank?
No, please lie all the time on this.
No, I mean, like, I felt bad that I didn't feel bad.
Why should you feel bad?
I don't know. Like, he's a part of my culture and, like, that's very impressive and I love, you know, whatever. 1999 Raspberry Beret, but like I just never got into the dude, like, ever in any real capacity.
We're too young to really care.
No, so many of my friends were like devastated, and I think truly devastated. Like, I was pretty fucking sad when Bowie died.
Exactly.
Bowie, I loved Bowie, and I'm not too young for that. That's even older music. Like,
agreed, but Bowie's music was readily available. Prince's wasn't. Prince is a guy that believes in chemtrails and conspiracy theories and is a Jehovah's Witness that doesn't vote. So, A, he's a piece of shit because he's a Jehovah's Witness, and B, painkiller.
He did really, really good things. He wasn't allowed to talk about the good things that he did because he was a Jehovah's Witness. So there was that.
That's a very nice thing for you to say that I don't believe.
You don't believe that?
No.
It was just on the news.
I'm good. I do believe Bowie was amazing, and Bowie really hit home, but I don't think it's fair for me as a straight white man in America to say, like, oh, Prince didn't mean anything to a lot of people. No, he meant a ton to a lot of people. It's just, in my little world, not a fan. I understand why he's good. I love the song Diamonds and Pearls, which is hilarious, but that and Bat Dance, clearly. But other than that, whatever, it's not for me.
Yeah, it was never for me. But I also wasn't a fan of that, like, weird era of the 80s that he, like, came up in and kind of, like, not necessarily clung to, but that was sort of his aesthetic forever.
Oh, yeah, he defined that. I mean, he defined the 80s because, and he always had to cling to it because it was him. He wasn't not true to himself.
Right, exactly. And that, I mean, that's commendable, and I've always liked that about him. But he's still never going to be, it's just not my type of music, and it's just not my... It's not my jam. It's not my style. Nothing about it. I hate everything about it.
Good. Okay, but your friends that do relate to him, are they also like in their early 30s, late 20s?
Uh-huh.
So why did they latch on to this guy that still was too old for them?
I don't know. Maybe my theory is that he was like everyone's first taste of androgyny and like a very safe environment. And that kind of like turned them on to a lot of different things. And he was like the safe door to all of that.
That's a really good point that I didn't think about because I'm a straight white man in America.
Are you? You never mention it.
I think it should be noted every 30 seconds.
as a straight white male would think. So that's, I mean, that's my thing. And that's what I thought about Bowie too. Cause I know like all of my like super hardcore, cool, like queer, goth, crazy friends, like Bowie was their god. And like the safer option was Prince. And that's for all your suburbanite pop punk kids.
I did not even.
That's their whole like taste of soul.
That's interesting that I did not connect those dots in any way.
Well, I'm a straight white male, so I'm, or male, so.
That's the rule of the show. You can only speak if you're a straight white man.
Yeah, totally fine.
My DC co-host Allison Lane was born a black woman, but things have changed. She's on mic. We did a show last week, and one of the biggest laughs was when she stood up and yelled white power.
It's still one of my favorite things when people say it.
It's so fun.
Do you know Dave Maher? He's a Chicago comedian. He was in a coma for a while, kind of known for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite jokes that he does is that he gets the audience kind of riled up, and he's just like, oh, we're gonna do like kind of a back and forth, and it's like, I'm gonna yell white and you're gonna yell electricity, and so we're gonna go back and forth, and then he just tricks them into saying, he says white and then power. It's so lovely because they get so into it.
Did you have a hard time coming up with the word audience?
Yeah.
All right, so you had a fun Friday night. It's Saturday, 4:22.
No, I
4:23.
Really did. Yeah.
It's Saturday.
We took it easy, though.
Okay, so when we talked on Wednesday, we kind of floated the idea of you not smoking or drinking.
Mm-hmm.
This was never an intervention.
No, it wasn't, but like it resonated with me. If I'm being completely honest, it was just like, oh yeah, this is what I needed to hear. This is good. Okay. Yeah, I'm on board with this.
So I'm trying to think of what I did on Wednesday. I don't think I did anything fun. I think I fought with AT&T on the phone for like an hour and a half.
What did I do on Wednesday? I don't think I did anything either. I'm like checking my calendar. That's so sad. Oh, I had a meet with an up and coming illustrator, and we talked about different Photoshop tricks.
That's awesome.
And that was, yeah, it was pretty easy. Thursday didn't do anything. That was pretty easy. Although I got a little, no, I went to a show and it was a very bad ending to the show. And I was just like, oh, this is so awkward. I got to go outside and smoke it out. And I didn't.
Good so for I just you. Felt like, let's talk about that horrible, horrible show. You went to a show on Thursday, April 21st. What was the show?
The show was, it's called Stand Up Stand Up. And it's at Crocodile in Wicker Park in Chicago. And it's a great show. It was their 4-year anniversary. They just booked a headliner who is a good friend of mine who hasn't been on stage in a very long time.
So he just didn't, he or she didn't perform at the abilities of which you were accustomed.
Yeah, for 40 minutes.
So it was just real long.
It was real long and real terrible. Walked like 80%, 90% of the audience.
Do you want to say the person's name or are we trying to be nice?
I'm really trying to be nice.
Great, let's do that. Okay, so that person that you could easily figure out if you just go to the Stand Up Facebook page and check the date. It's super easy to figure out. It's on you at this point. You being the listener, not Meredith.
You
that doesn't
really
make
have
sense.
To. He's a good guy and a great producer, and I love him to death. But
I'm going
to
look him up while you are talking about what... So you had to go have a cigarette because it was just uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable. And, like, cigarettes are an escape a lot of the time where you're just like, oh, I don't need to be in this situation. Oh, I need to go gossip with my girlfriend outside is really what that means. Like, and then you go out and the cigarette is the catalyst, I guess.
I understand that completely.
Yeah, but now, I mean, I realize I can just secret text everyone, and it's exactly the same thing.
Wait, secret text?
Yeah, when you just, like, are texting someone who's sitting right next to you.
Oh, I've never done that.
Oh, it's the best.
I'm looking at the poster for Stand Up. I like it because it's somewhat wrestling-related, but I also hate it because it looks atrocious.
James Webb, who runs the Stand Up, he's really, 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 really good at Photoshop. But he always makes it into their logo is the big, like, old timey microphone.
Yeah.
So they always look like, they always have like the slots.
Oh boy.
They're normally just kind of spooky to me because I don't like things with like a lot of holes in them. There's a There's a word for that. But yeah.
With a lot of holes in it.
Yeah, like concentrated holes. It's something, a phobia. It's a phobia. Who cares?
This poster is really bothering me.
It's really bothering you? Maybe you have it too.
No, I don't. I just think it's really poorly done.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's okay. People don't listen to podcasts anyways.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Oh, yeah, that ping was just me texting you or sending you the site, if I'm correct. And that's the show, correct?
That's correct. Yep, and that's the... Yep. So I don't know if you can count all of those people on the poster.
That's a long show.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 people.
Oh, boy.
All doing their best stuff. And it was great. And it was 2 hours and 40 minutes. And I was in a basement, not drinking.
Ugh.
I have not drank at a comedy show. And I don't even know how long ever.
Do you regret going to the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I almost always regret going out. Like, we've talked about that. I don't necessarily like to spend a lot of time outside. But this was... If I don't have to be at a comedy show, I'm not trying to be at a comedy show.
But you weren't performing.
Yeah, I wasn't performing. I was going to support my friend who was headlining. Because he hasn't done it in a really long time. And he used to be like kind of one of the Chicago big boys. Getting JFL callbacks and like... You know, like... He used to be so entertaining, and it was just killing me.
Are you writing an obit for this guy right now?
Yeah, I think I am.
Oh, boy. Okay, so Thursday. Like, that's a real test. Any show that long, I just can't enjoy it.
No, nobody can. It's 70 minutes max, man. Don't fuck around with your audience like that.
I go 90 minutes, actually.
90 is fine, too. Like... But, like, know that people need a break after a while. Oh, it can't go over two.
And it's just stand-up, that show.
Just stand-up.
That's not good for anyone.
I know. They had some bangers on there. They had some real good ones.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. I really don't care. Like, I love comedians, you should know. I really do. But every time I'm there, I'm just like, God, I don't care. Like, I just don't care. Just these can be the greatest comedians on earth, and I don't give a shit.
You know what I really love about comedians? You should know.
Hmm.
When you go outside and out front, and you have a smoke break, and then you run into somebody that you haven't seen in like 5 years, because that happens every time I'm there.
Really? Just like comedians?
Or what? Because that show is so popular, and it's long enough that people will show up either at the early part or the late part, and I'll just see them outside of the bar. And you could actually talk to them rather than like in that very smallish room in the downstairs where it's extremely rude to talk to people during a show.
Oh, like incredibly rude. And they're going to call you out like immediately. And
as they should.
As they should. I love how they run that room. But it's also, it's dark and everyone faces forward. And that, I don't know why that bugs me so much. I don't like movie theaters for that reason either.
What do you like?
Being alone. I like rewatching 30 Rock. I like clay. I like coloring. I like sitting in my backyard. And sometimes I like beaches.
So you sound like you're perfect to be between the ages of like 4 to 8 and then 65 to death.
That's exactly right.
Preschool or retirement home is ideal.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't say that I was born in the wrong decade. I'm just mad that I haven't like Benjamin Buttoned my way through life with like just a significant gap in the middle.
This is the best time for you to be alive.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm digging my 30s. What about you?
Medium.
Medium?
Medium. Like
your 20s better?
No, but I mean, it's all the classic stuff. Like my knees didn't hurt as much.
Oh, yeah. No, there's all that.
But I didn't take care of my body much in my 20s.
No, almost not at all.
Comparatively. I mean, like, I never had a drug problem. I never had a real substance problem. But, like, I ate, like, a Chicagoan, which is garbage.
Right.
And now I can't. Well, I can do that, but it's just I look, like, worse. What a revolutionary statement I just said.
No, I I was looking up some picture the other day, I think it was on Thursday, to like send a friend, just like, hey, remember this? And I saw it, and it was me when I was like 21. And I just wanted to go back and just like slap her in the face and just be like, don't you ever do anything that you want to do. It's all going to fucking bite you in the ass, you idiot. Just like, look at my face. Look how red it gets.
Did you not get red 9 years ago?
I don't think this red. I don't know. Literally, a girlfriend texted me this morning with like, I just tried out this new like Neutrogena project. It's called Color Redness Goes Away. You should try it. It's like, thanks. I love when people notice my adult acne. It is a joy.
Well, you know all that's going to go away once you stop smoking.
Oh, yeah. No, that is actually really nice.
So.
Oh, no. Just even yesterday when I was like in the car, I like yawned. Mm-hmm. It only took one yawn to like finish the yawn. Where normally it takes two yawns.
Wait, I'm learning now. What the fuck are you talking about?
Like my lung capacity is so low that when I yawn, it takes two yawns to like really fill it out. So it took only one yawn, which was something. I don't know. It's little.
Oh my God. I didn't ever have that problem.
I think it affects people in different ways.
It sure does. That's a new weird fucked up thing about you.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's horrible.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Oh my God.
So that's why I'm pretty pleased with like the decisions that I'm making.
All right, good job. All right, so.
I liked that like step down thing that you were talking about where you were like, I only smoke at shows and at night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, what if I only do Fridays after dark?
Fridays after dark sounds like a horrible.
It sounds like an HBO special.
Set in a TGI Fridays.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, they're dry humping and it looks like sex. Or they're, like, doing, like, weird latex fetish. You ever watch HBO After Dark? It's hilarious.
That show was so... No show made me more bored of sex as, like, a teenager than HBO After Dark.
Wait, After Dark or Real Sex?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I think it was Real Sex. Because it would just explore, like, those little niches. And then it would be, like, cutaways to, like... New York on the streets in the 90s, just like...
That is what I'm thinking.
Jerk out. Yeah, that was Real Sex. And I, like, watched every single one just, like, fascinated when I was a kid, but, like, kind of was just grossed out by all these weird couples retreats with, like, old dudes with long hair just fucking tantrically coming. Ugh.
So that is exactly why I was completely turned off by HBO forever, and still probably to this day. Like, I don't associate Game of Thrones nudity or Sex and the City nudity or Sopranos nudity. I associate it with just, like, uggos that love to fuck slightly out of the norm doing that. That's what I associate with HBO.
That's crazy. I love that. That's really, really, really funny.
Nothing is sexy, man. Nothing is sexy. And then I used to work in a video store when I was 15, I got the job. And it was called OP Video, and it was a front for the mob. And I know that because somebody told me, hey, this is a front for the mob.
What?
Also, we don't keep books, so don't worry about it. and I got paid in cash. At the time, fucking great job. Anyways.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I am driving. So they had an adult section, like a saloon doors section. And yeah. I would rent out all the porn to everyone at my high school. I was a freshman in high school, by the way. And I would say, all right, you have it for this many hours. I know you're going to bring it back because I have all of your parents, like phone numbers, credit card infos, whatever. No one was ever late. It was all cash under the table that went directly to me. And I ended up watching like all this porno and... Also, not at all sexy. Then I became a rape victim advocate, and I know all the facts about that stuff. So almost all of sexuality for me as a teenager was like, everything is depressing.
Oh my God. How did that affect you when you were like dating in your 20s?
Oh, great. I was a women's studies major, so I know everything about your uterus.
That's good. You know what and where a clit is, so like. You've already miles ahead of everyone that I dated before 26.
Yeah, it's it's so boring. Everything is fucking boring, and it that's what I learned at a really young age.
Oh my God, totally, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know. Go ahead.
I want to make it clear that I'm not advocating for an abstinence lifestyle or an asexual lifestyle. Just whatever way you like to fuck, as long as it's consensual, do it. No one cares. No one cares.
Literally no one cares. So, maybe people in the South.
Yeah, but they're like, going to watch you fuck.
They're going to think about it, though.
That's fine. They're going to think about it regardless.
I know.
Do whatever you want.
That's a fucking cool-ass racket, though, man. That's like memoir stuff. I'd watch that movie.
It's interesting now because even 5 years after that, after the fact, you can't have that exist anymore. Like, those video stores don't exist. And more importantly, the internet does exist. Why would you pay for porn?
Yeah, I remember my brother's like 8 years older than me. And I remember like we were driving around. I was like eight. He was like 16, 17 maybe. And he went over to like the other side of town. We were in like Crest Hill or something. And we went to a different video store. And I was like, why are we not at Bob Bardash? Like, what? Just very confused. And he's like, shut up. Don't tell mom that we were over here. It's like, I don't get it. Like, I'm eight. Like, you could just tell me they didn't have the Little Mermaid at whatever. Like, he didn't have to be fucking weird about it. But yeah, he had to be like really secretive, although he wasn't. It's a lot of porn under the bathroom sink.
Wait, why in the bathroom and not the bedroom?
I don't know, because my mom probably would think to like look in the bedroom. She's a snoopy lady.
Which means she would also probably clean the bathroom?
She wasn't really big on cleaning. We had to clean our own bathroom.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
That's the trade-off.
Yeah, is that you can jerk off in the bathroom and scare the shit out of your little sister when she finds those things. She's like, why is that lady under that table? What's she doing to that other lady? I thought she was the waitress. Oh my God.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of Tori Amos is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, that's super cool. I was an Ani friend. I get it.
Hate Ani.
Really? I grew out of her.
I hate it so much. And the problem with it is I respect everything she does. I like the band she tours with. I just can't stand her in any way, musically.
That's because she knows herself and her audience that well, that you're just like, stop. It's so typical. She became her own brand of annoying. Oh, God. Right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if she was ever like, oh, this sounds horrible. That I'm like, fuck Righteous Babe Records. But like, it's just not, for me.
No.
But that like it represented like that scene for a lot of people.
What do you think your, my boyfriend asked me this the other day. What do you think your like turn on to like your brand of feminism was when it came to like music and pop culture?
Like who was the artist or what was the song?
Yeah.
I could tell you right now. It was Nirvana, blatantly. Nirvana was did a lot of stuff for the Bosnian rape victims in 1993. Mm-hmm. And that was the band that I think I've said this dozens of times. I bought In Utero and I quit the football team.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my heart just like turned into butter. Oh.
And then, yeah, so I was really big into that. Also the not having a dad thing and then having the guy singing about how he didn't have a dad, but fuck you, whatever. Clearly needed his father or a strong male presence in his life or he'd be alive. That was like the main thing. And then Tori Amos covered Smells Like Teen Spirit on one of her singles. So I got super into Tori. Clearly she's part of RAIN, which is Rape, Abuse, and Substantial Network. So freshman year of college, I became a rape victim advocate because that was like a local chapter type of thing. Way too young to do that type of shit. And that was my thing. But at the end of the day, it really boils down to nothing matters. Once again, going back to Nirvana, my favorite Nirvana photo of all time is them at the 1992 VMAs. I think it's 92 VMAs. It might be 93. Anyways, that's when they performed and Guns N' Roses performed and Kurt and Courtney had Frances Bean with them. She was a newborn at the time.
Yeah.
And there's a famous photo of RuPaul holding Frances Bean with Nirvana there and Courtney there. And to me, that was like, oh, those are the best. That's exactly how it should be. Gender's fluid. Nothing matters. Fuck Axl Rose. I don't give a fuck about your giant grand piano. You guys are pieces of shit. Nirvana, 100% of the time, punk rock. Even though I'm a dumb little kid, because in reality, we're all just making money for David Geffen, who was a closeted man. So who gives a shit? Just be open. Fuck whoever you want. Nothing matters. Don't rape. The end. Just do shit consensually, and then you'll fucking throw your bass in the air. It'll hit you in the head, and then they'll find you drinking champagne with the guy from Cinderella. Speaking of which, Chris Novoselic was in Washington, D.C. yesterday. And I did not go see him because I have nothing to say to him. And I kind of don't ever want to meet him.
Wait, okay. Explain that. Let's unpack that.
Chris Novoselic?
Yeah, why?
The more I find out about that band, and I don't think there's much more for me to find out about that band, it's so clear that he was just the best friend that would never tell you to not do something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kurt, like, that band doesn't exist without Novoselic because equipment's heavy and you need another guy to like help load the van, and he was good with logistics and he contributed nothing to the table musically other than support, which is great and lovely, but he didn't matter in terms of how a sound was created. Clearly Grohl's incredibly important, but what do I need to ask the bassist ever? Do you really want to talk to Flea?
No.
And he's the best bassist.
I mean, I could ask him, what was that movie he was in?
He's been in a bunch. Him and Gus Van Sant are sort of friends.
Yeah.
But he was also in Lebowski.
Yeah, Lebowski. That's what I was going to
think of. I know way too much about Flea.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever, I don't think I've even like, you know, like fallen down a Wikipedia hole about fucking... Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I have no interest in the bass player from fucking Nirvana. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, the most interesting thing about him, besides his height, is the way his name was. He used it, K-R-I-S-T, as in Christ, and then he would go occasionally with Chris, with a K, sometimes Chris with a C. That's it.
No,
he seemed cool.
Not really.
No, he seemed cool to me. Like, he was fine. He was the kind of guy that could probably, like, hang out with the bros and hang out with the metal kids and play like softball with his dad. And like he could easily flow between communities. And I've always thought that was great.
I guess. As somebody who can do that, like, big fucking deal. Just be nice to people.
Yeah, but you can do that. And you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think everyone does.
It's not difficult. Everyone's just human and trying to like impress and think that they're, everyone's watching them. And really, all you have to access with people is just like, yeah, I see you. How are you? I see what you're doing here. What is that about? And then they just open up like flowers.
Do you think that's true because you don't work in an office?
I mean, I've worked in offices.
Sure, but I'm assuming that because you don't have to see the same type of people, or the same, literally the same people 5 days a week, with not by choice, you kind of get to choose your company. So you're going to inherently like more people and have a much longer leash than others.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say from my office days, though, I'm still pretty good friends. So I was big into cracking open the lawyers, seeing what's inside. What was college like? Why law? Why this law? Like, what's your wife like? Was she hot when you guys met? I'm like interested in people. I think that's probably what it is. I love just seeing the intricacies inside.
It's so weird. I think it's weird because the anxiety, to me, would go against that.
No, it never has. I'm super personable. I'm not, like, socially anxious at all. I am thinking about death constantly. That's a totally different thing. So I think I do try and enjoy life a little bit more presently because of it.
So on Thursday at the show, you said you became anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Were you thinking about death?
I felt trapped, so I kind of felt like I needed to escape, which means I need to like breathe and like refocus my energy on like being alive and like being present. Yeah, so I guess in like a way.
Do you have any strong feelings towards the Dixie Chicks as wide open spaces?
You know, I can't say that I like am super familiar with the song other than the chorus.
Cool.
Yeah. Not a huge love me some Garth. Not a huge Dixie
Chicks. Whoa. Yeah. Really?
I know. I just like grew up with it. That's why.
So do you consider your upbringing white trash?
No, not at all. I come from two extremely liberal, hippie, atheist teacher parents, as far left as you can get.
Yeah, so how does Garth Brooks fall into that?
They just like him. They like folk music and they like country music a little bit. And they liked that one with I got friends in a low place. They just like it.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm going to call it the McDonald's of country music.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But it's like easy to process, you know, like I'm fine with that.
When I think of two left leaning from Illinois parents that love country and folk music, I'm thinking they're going to like stuff like John Prine.
John Prine, he's their number one, 100%.
Is he really?
Yeah. We played John Prine at my grandpa's funeral. I'll probably play it for my wedding.
What song? What song?
I really like In Spite of Ourselves. In Spite of Ourselves, we'll end up sitting on a rainbow. I love that song.
It's a great song. Yeah, I'm so way too pleased with myself that I knew that your parents would like John Prine.
That is, I mean, that's unbelievably spot on. Unbelievably spot on.
Yeah, I know. I have a women's studies degree. I know what them bitches listen to.
All right, okay, so you know what bitches listen to. So what was my feminist awakening musically?
I'm trying, okay, based on where you're from, could I ask one question?
Sure.
Would I have ever heard the song on the radio?
No.
Thank you. That really helps narrow it down. I'm not joking. It really does. Now I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, you're a few years younger than me. It's not on the radio. You kind of have the internet, but not really. I'm going to go with more not really. Therefore, it has to be a band that everyone, in theory, has heard of, or at least would go to one of your comedy shows. I'm so torn between Bikini Kill and Sleater-Kinney, but I don't think it's either of them. Oh, fuck.
You're so, so close. So, so, so close.
You might be young enough where it's La Tigre, but you might be too old. Is it La Tigre?
La Tigre.
Is it La Tigre? Good. Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. You got that in three guesses, dude.
Well, one, technically. I just talked one through thing. It. Well, here's the thing with La Tigre. They're fantastic, clearly. But it's like Bikini Kill sounds like it's a super harsh band. But, like, they're not.
Oh, not at all.
But when you hear Bikini Kill, it's like, it just sounds like you're going to play metal.
Yeah, a little bit. It even sounds like a harder, like, punk. But it's just, and I think that's why I was, like, a little, because I like La Tigre because it was fancy. And then I kind of, like, went to Bikini Kill. Like, later on, I was just like, who the fucking is he? Are you shitting me? Rebel Girl? Come on.
Exactly. Like,
oh, so good.
You know what? I've never thought of this until now. What? If Bikini Kill should be called L7 and L7 should be called Bikini Kill, because stylistically the names match much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because L7 is harsh as fuck, but the logo is so easy to draw and cool looking and easy to digest.
I mean, yeah, but Kathleen Hanna fucking turned everything around. She was my Kurt, you know, because they were buddies.
Yeah, I'm not an idiot.
Oh, cool.
I still love Courtney Love. Unabashedly, I think she's amazing.
I never really had an opinion on her other than she should probably be like a cooler, more sober mother.
Yeah, the kids in her. Have you seen who Frances Bean dates?
I think I saw a picture of him. Are you sending me it?
Yeah, should
I
I'm look it up? Look it up really quickly.
Look it up for me. She turned out to be like a cool knockout. I've read like a couple interviews with her, and she seems so well adjusted. And no, you didn't read that.
Oh, I'm making a face to the listener at home. No. I mean, well-adjusted to a point.
Exactly.
This is so bad. You're going to see this and be like, tell me if she's well-adjusted after you look at this photo.
Okay. Absolutely. Oh, wow. So, just fucking your dad, huh?
Yep, exactly.
Holy shit.
Yeah, real well-adjusted.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
But, like, every girl tries to date her dad if he was, like, a cool guy.
He wasn't a cool guy. Kurt Cobain wasn't a cool guy.
But, I mean, like, are you his daughter? Like, are you growing up with people who constantly, like, pledge allegiance to this man and tell you that he changed rock and roll and he fucking created all this great shit and he's your dad. You came from him. He's your dad. Like, of course she thinks he's fucking great. You sure. understand that to a certain point that your parents are fallible and, like, you know, she's not retarded, but, like... Are you going on record and calling Frances being retarded?
I'm saying maybe. She is a heroin baby.
She is a heroin baby. That is true.
I mean, it's not her fault.
Also, 90s fashion. What the fuck? Oh, it just came back 100%.
Yes. Yes. But it's not as fun. Or as actually, I take that back. I use the wrong adjective. It's not as lazy.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
I really wish it was lazier.
Well, I mean, it was more like of a thrift store movement back then,
mm-hmm.
and it's boutique now. It's couture.
Yeah, and I'm all for couture. I love it. I'm a fan, but I'm also older, and I'm not doing this shit anymore, and now I'm wearing more suits and stuff like that.
Wow, okay.
I'm just, like, going through a Google image spiral of Frances and her husband.
Oh, it's her husband? I thought they were getting divorced.
Already?
Yeah, I think so.
That's good. I'm glad.
Google it. I mean, she's too young to be married, but they were like high school sweethearts, right?
I don't know. No, they're still married.
They're still married? But they were together for a really long time. So, like,
Here's the thing. He's 31.
Sorry, what?
He is 31.
Oh, for the listener at home, I'm making a very upset face.
Thank you. And apparently, yes, after 21 million... 21 months of marriage. She filed for divorce last month.
Yeah, I knew that.
All right, I feel slightly better.
How old is she? 20?
Hold on. The internet's so fun.
Two.
Yeah, that's not right. Your brain isn't done until you're 25, and even then it's still fluid.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, I feel bad for all my friends who got married before 25. None of them worked out. Not one.
Oh,
of them.
Really?
No.
Oh shit.
No, wait. One.
That's
they
good.
Were high school sweethearts, though. They were like they met and they were like, "This is it. This is all I need." The rest of them were just like, "Oh, I just need to fuck," and my mom says I can't fuck unless I get married. And that don't work out.
That's. Do you have? You should have a bit where I'm now telling you how to do your own comedy. You should have a bit.
Oh, please, I love it.
You should have a bit where you just open with that lispy, like, teenager voice, like, "My mom says I can't fuck unless I'm married."
Oh, mom, I need to get married. Oh, my pussy's so tight, nothing's in it.
And then play Rebel Girl and walk off stage.
I'm going to be the most alt comic on earth.
You go back on stage. Yep. You tell the crowd.
I'm doing it.
You tell the crowd. Just want you to know. I was getting gay married in that joke. You guys... are all bigots.
And then I say, "Vote Nader," and I throw the microphone through a window.
No. Let me slightly alter that. Hold up a sign. Let Nader debate.
Rip it. Like the Pope.
Turn it around. It was the Pope.
But upside down. And I wrote gay on his forehead because he's the gay Pope. So, like, what am I for? You know? What aren't I for?
Oh.
People are like this. Maybe I should go back and get my master's in SAIC.
Do you get any plugs?
You know what? If you're in Chicago on Friday, I have two things you can go to. You can go see Hoo Ha Comedy. It's Tuesday. It's at the White Room at 1907 North Mendel at 9 p.m. Free beer. Free New Belgium. Or you can go to my mentorship program. I mentor girls ages 11 to 17, and they'll be showing all the artwork that we've done based on timelines, time, parallel universes, and the like. And any money that you spend on their art will go back to the girls for next year.
And where is that event?
That is at the Six Corners at Diversity in Kimball. You'll see it. It's the loft space across from above the Payless.
And is there a website for that specifically?
Yeah, ag47collective.com.
ag47collective.com. That is absolutely fantastic. So if you're a poor scumbag, you go to the comedy show. And if you're an adult that wants to help the world and feel better about your own life, but actually just have a relatively cheap night in Wicker Park, make the world a better place, go to there. That's amazing. Yep. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really fun, dude. The girls are so incredible.
It's so great. Tell them I'm so happy that they'll never know the power of being a straight white male in America.
And absolutely. Absolutely. I tell them that every day.